Those that know the Lord don't belong to and in this world because Jesus has made the difference for them. In John 5 and verse 39, he's admonishing them to search the scripture, for in them they think they have eternal life. And concerning the scripture, he says, they are they which testify of me. Now, we've been given the all scripture, the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, in order to help us to get to know Jesus. And you know, Brother Cooper talks about his dad telling him on his deathbed that he wanted him to know the Lord or know his God as he knew him. Knowing about Jesus is not what the scriptures are for. They are there to make us able to know Jesus. And there's a difference. There's a difference between knowing about and knowing. Religion knows about. They don't know him. They don't really understand him. The world definitely doesn't know him and doesn't understand him. I'd like to speak to you tonight on getting to know Jesus. Let's start in John chapter 1. Chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the Word of God. Verse 14 here in John 1, he says, and the Word was made flesh. All right, who was made flesh? Jesus was. And dwelled among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the only one that has glory is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that is God. He was with God in the beginning, and he is God. No question about it whatsoever. He truly is God. Look at John... Or I believe it's Matthew, the first chapter, verse number 23. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23. But the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This virgin-born son, Jesus Christ, is God. He's God who became flesh and dwelt among men for the sake and for the good and the cause of mankind. Jesus is God. He is also the Creator. Again, look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 4, I believe it is. John 1 and 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now we're talking about Jesus, and we see it manifest in a lot of ways. We see him manifest as the virgin-born son. And we find that he is a little babe in the manger, and there's a lot made to do about that as far as that's concerned. That's knowing about him. But that's not where we're at, what we're after. We want to know him. And listen, it is possible for us to know him and to know him better. And how do we get to know him better? By searching the scripture. By searching the scripture, and that daily. The more that we're in the scripture, the more we'll get to know Jesus, and the closer we will be with him. The more we know him, the more we want to be with him. He is the creator, and nothing was made without him that was made. Then, he is, look at Matthew 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." Now, wait a minute. Jesus is the Savior of his people. He's the Savior of his people. Now, yeah. Of all of God's people, those that are saved. No, he's the Savior of all mankind, because all mankind are his. He is their creator. And this is what man has put aside. This is what man doesn't want to face up to. And that fact is that all mankind belongs to God. Man never has been, nor can he be, his own God or his own power that continues his existence. The God who created him, Jesus Christ, must continue that existence for man to continue to exist. And this nonsense that's being promoted today is a smack against God, because man is promoting that mankind has to save the earth. Mankind has to preserve the earth. Mankind has to take. Listen, mankind is going to mess everything up that he's ever getting involved in or ever got involved in. He can't help himself or do for himself. He can't get himself out. Matter of fact, we had some catastrophes take place because man thought he could keep it from raining, or he could seed the clouds and they would rain. And what a debacle that was. And brother, if man had any great power or authority, he'd stop these storms out here before they come in. But only God can do that. Jesus did it on the Sea of Galilee when the storm came up. Getting to know Jesus. We all need to get to know him better. We need to understand these things about him. We need to make that comparison, because man is looking for a man to make him their God. That's right. To many people in this nation, Trump's their God. They worship him. They're given over. Others, they worship the liberal individuals that are ruining this nation. And listen, if you disagree with them, they'd just soon kill you as not. How can that be in this great country? It is, folks. Don't kid yourself. The only thing that keeps him from it is the grace of God and the Holy Spirit and the truths that he upholds in society through New Testament churches and their influence. Because listen, that destruction stuff is the works of the Antichrist, and they're already here. Bible said so. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know what? When one gets saved, he becomes the Lord's in particular. Yeah. Lord owns him in creation already, but he becomes his in particular. Listen, he is the creator. He is the Savior. And the interesting thing about him as Savior is that he is the only Savior. There is no other. Can you grasp that? Or do you have a little bit of a tendency to want to think the way religion does today, so-called Christianity, you know, that everybody has their own way of getting to God? Everybody has their own way of obtaining salvation. It can't just be one way. It is one way. There's not can't be to it. He is the Savior. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. Now listen, God says that and he's able to enforce it. It is a fact. And he's presenting it. No other way to get saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Other than the name of Jesus Christ, there's no way separate and apart. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. In John 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He didn't say I'm a way, he said I'm the way. Do you know that he's the only way? You sure? Is it in your heart or is it in your head? If it's in your head, you can have your mind changed, but if it's in your heart, that isn't going to change. I am the way, the truth. You know, there's no other truth among men except the all scripture that's given by the inspiration of God. Any truth man has, or man may promote, or man may use, or man may deal with, the only truth that he has is the all scripture, the word of God. Every truth and every fact is based on the teachings of the scripture, the word of God. That means you can find the origin of everything in the scripture. You can find how it come about. Most of all, you can get to know he who created it or brought it into existence well and even better. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other life than through and by him. That's eternal life, by the way. The other alternative is eternal death, separated from God. All this good in the fires and flames of that place called hell. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you catch that? Did you know? Jesus is the only way that any individual can come to God. He's the only way that any individual can communicate with God. He's the only way that one can understand and receive God's communication to us. And it's through and by him, by the Holy Spirit, that gives us understanding. And members of a New Testament church have the special office work of the Comforter to teach them the deep truths of the Word of God and give them understanding. He is the way, not a way. There's no a way about it. He is the truth. There's no a truth. It's the truth. And he is the life. There's none of those separate and apart from Jesus Christ. And listen, there is no access to God but by him. Man, think about it. And I know him personally. You that are saved, you know him personally. Yeah, what a privilege. Brother Steve brought up in his class, whose man that he's mindful thereof? Why would God? That's always astounded me, that God would be mindful of a wretch like me. Yeah. How could, the God of creation, the God that sustains creation. And let's think beyond just our little realm of the earth. Let's think outside of that to the first and the second heaven up there. And then when we expand beyond that, think of that third heaven where he dwells. that's in eternity and not time. And Jesus, the only access that we have to it. He is the only mediator. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there is one mediator," or wait a minute. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." There's only one mediator, one go-between between God and man, and that is that man, Christ Jesus. That is that God-man, Christ Jesus. He is the only mediator. There is no other. He is the only propitiation for our lives. He is the only sacrifice for our lives. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10. 1 John 4 and verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins," to be the sacrifice, the offering, the payment for our sins. He is the judge of the quick or the living and the dead. Acts chapter 10, verse number 42. Acts chapter 10. Verse 42. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead," or the living and the dead. Understand this. Our judge, every man's judge, saved and lost, is Jesus Christ. He shall judge every man. And that judgment will be on an individual basis. Guess what? When we stand before him in that judgment, we'll stand alone. And there, our merits will be examined. And it'll be examined according to truth. We'll face facts and reality. We will then wholly accept those facts and that reality. And he'll say either, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or, "You're saved yet so as by fire." One or the other. He is the judge of the living and the dead, or of all mankind who have ever come into this world. All will face him. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 confirms this beyond a shadow of a doubt. All of mankind will face Jesus Christ in judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die." And boy, all men, all of us are going to face this appointment. "But after this, the judgment." All of us are going to face that appointment. Because it's certain no man is going to live forever. Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. That's a long time. But he died. Every man is going to die. We're all going to die. And then, after that, death is not a going out of existence. Death is simply taking us to face Jesus in the judgment. Now, it's not going to happen when each of us go, but it's going to happen on that day that's appointed for the the judgment seat of Christ, where he'll judge all of those that are saved. Look at John chapter 5 and verse number 22. He is our judge. He will be our judge. John chapter 5, verse number 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And then in Romans 14, 10 and 11. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess of God, or to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now notice, he makes it clear, it's written, as I live, saith the Lord. He's the judge, or certainly every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God through him. Yeah. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God, every individual. Again, we shall stand alone. But God has given us this time to prepare for that judgment, and he's given us what he's going to judge us by. So as born again children of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit and him through the Spirit, we ought to live our lives in a manner that when we stand before that judgment, we'll not have to be ashamed, we'll not have to mourn, we'll not have to suffer, but we will receive the blessings of the Lord, and he can say, well done. I've heard this compared to taking a test. If the teacher tells you're going to give you a test and he give you all the answers, then you don't have any reason not to pass that test. Well, God's going to give us a test at the end of this life, and he's given us all of the things that we're going to be tested on or judged by. And so we're going to be without excuse for not passing that test or that judgment. Why do we need to get to know him? Look at John 17, verse number 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God. We need to get to know him because he's the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, wait a minute. Need to get to know Jesus because he's God. But then we need to get to know that God is God, God the Father. And we need to get to know that the Holy Spirit is God. And we need to get to know Jesus, and then through him we can get to know the Spirit and the Father as well. Because the three of them are one. One God. Not one person, there are three persons, but one God. To get to know Jesus, you also need to know and understand that he is God the Son, one person of the Holy Trinity that makes up the Godhead, who is the God of all things, the three of them together as one. Does that begin to kind of stir your mind a little bit? It's easy to understand. Just put your faith in what he's revealed to us in these all scripture, in this truth. The truth is, the God of heaven is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the three are one God. See? And what affects one affects the other. What comes from one comes from the other. And you know what Jesus said? Where two or three gather together in my name in church capacity, he said, they're mine in the midst. And yet he's on the right hand of the throne of the Father making intercession, mediating. How's he here? He's here through the Holy Spirit. Hard to understand because of the limitations of man. But it's not hard to understand when you understand that he's God. All things are possible with him. And I have faith from the Word of God that what he says about it and reveals about it and about himself is true. Say, well, they're all time coming up with things that prove the Bible is the Word of God, that the Scriptures are really the Word of God. I don't have to have those. Tracing our church lineage, this individual say, well, you can't rattle that chain all the way back. You can't follow it historically. Well, you can pretty much. You may not be able to do it exact, precise, and detail, but I don't have to have that. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He guaranteed there'd be New Testament churches when he comes back. And we're living in the day that he described throughout the scripture, and the conditions that would prevail on the earth are prevailing right now when Jesus shall come. I may not be around for it, but I think most of you will be. I think it's that close. I don't just think it's that close. I believe it's that close. Why do you believe it? By the Word. By the Word. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord's your Savior. Need to understand and believe and accept the fact that you are a sinner, for all men are. You got to believe and accept the fact that you personally have sinned against God, because when he drew you in the beginning, when you come to the age of accountability or the age of knowledge of good and evil, and he drew you, you went your own way. You made the same choice that Adam did. Because of that choice that you and I made, we stand guilty before God. But thank God we don't have to pay the penalty for that guilt, because Jesus came down and as a man, he paid that penalty. He took that out of the way for everyone who will come believing and trusting in him. That's the fact of the matter. And all you have to do is be willing with the heart to turn from self and sin. Turn to Jesus. Lift up your heart in prayer and ask him. And that's how he saved me. That's how he saved every individual that's here tonight that knows the Lord as their Savior. And that's how he can save you if you'll let him. Salvation is a gift of God. You got to receive it. You can't do something for it. If you do, it's not a gift. But it is a gift. All you have to do is be willing to receive it. What shall we sing, brother?
Hymn 256.
You're here tonight.